This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 637, Chatty Costas. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops Adorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, you're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, the commander of the Fell and master of demons, Fandeth, the still the meat shield, Toasty, and the High Priestess of the Everlight, Allie.
But I'm not from Canada.
It's okay, we'll make it work. You're an honorary Canadian. Ahem. Bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft, this is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. Hey, Toasty.
Hello.
How you doing, bud?
Existence is pain.
What's wrong?
Playoffs are here. Well, we'll be here in a couple days.
But that's good. Playoffs are good.
Well,
it's a good thing to be in the playoffs.
Normally,
isn't it?
I'd agree with you.
What's wrong?
One of the first round matchups bothers me a little bit.
A little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
I'll be fine.
Are you sure about that, buddy?
Sure.
I sense some doubt in you. I don't know why.
Because the Jets and the Blues are playing each other, and I don't know how to feel. I don't know who to root for.
His soul is torn.
Yeah, I can see that being a problem.
I don't want it. I want it in the second round. I wanted both of them to at least win a series. And then after that...
So that when you root for the Blues, you can actually feel good about it, that they actually, like, just actually won a series, at least?
I mean, that's one of the possibilities, yeah. Ugh. Yep. That sums up my, like, not WoW week.
Alright, well, there's somebody here who is happy about hockey, at least to some degree, right, Allie?
I am. You know, I'm pretty proud of my Avs. We're in there. You know, last season we got knocked out in the first round, and you know that might happen this year. We're playing the Flames. Calgary has beaten us all season, but sometimes Avalanche are weird, and all of a sudden they bring their A game to the playoffs. So, you know, I'm not getting my hopes up, but I'm also holding on to just a little sliver of hope that maybe we'll at least make it into the second round. We'll see.
Existence is pain.
Now, we're not... Wasn't Calgary, like, the top of the West?
Yeah.
And you're a wild card team?
Wild card number two. But we made it in. Dang it.
So you're, like, the bottom of the playoffs.
They are my team through thick and thin. It doesn't matter that we're at the bottom. I am proud of us for even getting in. They're my team no matter what.
Okay. I can understand that.
Proud of it.
We will allow you to be proud of it.
Oh, thanks.
We will celebrate any victories they may have and hope they do not get swept.
No, yes. I made my bracket. I only have one sweep this series, this playoffs, and Tampa over Columbus. Columbus isn't winning a game.
Yeah, that's a good chance of that. In my bracket, I went with the Avalanche going all the way, even though I know that's not going to happen. It just felt so wrong to not try for that. So, yeah, my bracket is broken and I don't care.
I actually don't remember who I picked, but it looks like Toasty's got a lot of lower. You share those other places, right? This isn't just the ATA one.
No,
right?
I shared it with Seraphis' Discord and another Discord that I'm in. Two other Discords I'm in.
Gotcha. Well, I think everybody knows who I am choosing to go all the way.
But team could ever be.
Nashville?
Yep, I'm choosing Nashville.
That's an odd choice.
Eh. I also chose Tampa over Columbus in four games, but I chose one other sweep.
You chose my team, didn't you?
No.
Oh, thank you.
I said you'll win one game.
At least you gave us that. That's more than the others.
I think I gave the abs too.
Thanks.
No, I chose Boston's going
to
sweep Toronto.
No. That series needs to go to game 7, and Toronto needs to be leading in the third period 4-1 for the memes. Give me the memes.
I'm confused, but okay.
I'll explain it later, because like this isn't the hockey show, even though like a good chunk of it usually turns into the hockey show.
Especially the second one, yes. But yeah, I did not say that your team will win. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm the only insane one. Out of everyone that's probably participating in this bracket, I'm probably the only one who picked the Avalanche. But again,
if yours is right, tip my hat to your team coming in that low in the playoffs and going all the way to win it. You guys would deserve
Kings
it.
Did it.
You just gotta have faith sometimes,
true.
Right? It's okay.
Faith or insanity, whichever you like it to be.
So it works well for me. Thanks.
Good to hear. I'm glad you have a good equal measure there. All right, well, Toasty, what do you do this week?
So this week I did a bunch of world quests, you know, the usual stuff, trying to get the edge on you gear-wise. World quests haven't been doing it, and LFR gives me nothing at this point unless something procs. Did my Warfront a couple times and only got the one decent piece of gear at 400. I can't even remember which one it was at this point. So right now on my Warrior, I'm sitting at 397. So I'm up one. But at this point, I need to start doing mythics regularly in order for me to get gear more reliably, so I'm gonna try to start doing that this week. When I wasn't doing all that stuff, I did island expeditions as well, and that was not as rewarding as it has been previously. Pretty much exclusively got artifact power and doubloons, and then I played on my druid for a little bit because I felt like it. There were several people online in my guild that day, and all of them were on their druids. So I'm like, well, I can't be the only one on my warrior. So I played on my druid for a little bit. Got it up to 101.5 before I called it. Honestly, when there are that many of us online, like, none of us are actually playing. we're using WoW as a glorified chat room at that point. We distract each other way too easily, which like is fine. I mean, half the reason we all play these games is for the social aspect of it, so I'm okay with that. Although thinking back to it, I realistically should have asked them to do some keys, because like that would have helped. Not often that we have that many people online that are capable of doing keys. Hindsight's not fun. No, much regret. So much regret. Anyway, that was my weekend. Well, how about you guys?
Allie, what about you? What was your week
like?
It
was fantastic. I worked a bit on my new tailoring quest line, which was really fun. You know, just a little thing. I'm at the part now where I have to do 4 different dungeons, so gee darn, I get to do dungeons this week. So, you know, excited about that. I worked a bit on my Kul'Tiran monk, Allie Morgan. She's now level 26. And I should be able to obtain my captain title by the end of the week. So by the time she hits 100, she will get to be Captain Allie Morgan, and I am really excited about that. I worked really hard on my
Then you're having much better... You are having much better luck at getting those bonus ones than I am, because I've been under 5 away for like 3 weeks now, and I'm still not there.
You just have to keep doing them so you clear them out so new ones can come in. I've worked hard. I think you underestimate my determination of having Captain Allie Morgan.
Oh, no, I absolutely understand that you absolutely need to have Captain Allie Morgan.
The rum runner. This is true. I also started an Iron Man challenge tune. So, for those who don't know, it's through WoW challenges. And the Iron Man challenge is you don't take any talents at all. You don't equip any gear that is above gray or white quality. And, you know, the common, you know, no buffs, no flasks, no gold and bags and no help from other toons, that kind of thing. And no dying. So it's going to be interesting. And I'll keep everyone up to date on that as I go through. But I did a dwarf ret pally because there's some good survivability. I can heal myself. I can run away if I need to. I can stun people and run away if I need to, and stone form, which with dwarves, which is really nice too. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm really excited about that.
Man, I've been thinking about picking up one of those challenges because, you know, Stone's always talking about them.
Yeah, and you know, I'm only level 11, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'm just now starting out, and I'm just now getting to the part where quests are starting to give greens. And I'm at the point where I'm super paranoid about not doing anything that's against the rules and like making sure I'm doing everything right so far. And it hasn't been too challenging, but I'm noticing little things, like I have to be a little more careful about how I pull things. You know, if I'm like riding along and there's like a cliff that I'll probably survive if I jump off of, I probably shouldn't, just to be safe, to make sure, because that would be like the worst way to die on the challenge. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be really fun. Go ahead.
I was going over the challenges the other day, and I couldn't decide which challenge I wanted to do.
I thought about doing Bloodthirsty. And Bloodthirsty is you're just killing things. All your XP is from killing things. It's not from professions, and it's not from quests or anything. It's just purely killing things, which sounds like fun. But I thought for my first challenge, I would just start with like the typical Iron Man challenge and go from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited about that. And
I probably wouldn't get out of the starting zone, to be honest.
Oh, you would. It'd be fine. The only trick with that,
I have so often died in the human starting zone. Like, I don't get out of the Abbey.
Are you pulling that you're dying in the human starting zone?
A lot, apparently.
Only 8 or 9.
What's nice is that you can use judgment and like pull from it like a distance, so you get like one versus like multiples.
But that's no fun.
Well, when you're trying to not die, it is. The whole point is not dying. If you die, you're done.
But why live a boring life?
Oh, that's not boring. Trust me, this is gonna be fun and challenging. Super challenging. I think I'll probably start feeling it more in like 20-ish levels, 30 levels maybe, you know, when I'm not equipping the gear and when I'm not, I can't run dungeons. That's the only thing. I'm sad I can't run dungeons.
Yeah, this is a lot because you can't do, yeah, can't no dungeons because you get so much bonus XP from that. Mm-hmm.
No professions, you know, none of that, so.
Can't join a party?
No, you can join a guild. As long as you're not getting anything from like guild repairs or any help from your guildies.
Right.
But yeah, if someone runs by and buffs you, you have to like on the honor system, click that buff off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of little rules, but there's a great community. He's really supportive of each other and kind of cheers everyone on, which I think is fantastic. So that'll be good. Also this week, I ran over to the Dark Moon Fair because the roller coaster is open. Which was really cool because the area where it is, it's one of those tents that have been under construction for so many years now. So it's really cool to actually see something there. And you get the same buff that you would get on the carousel. It just takes a little bit longer. But it's really fun because it's a roller coaster. Like when you're first going up a roller coaster and say you're going up like a big hill, you hear like the click, click, click. Click, click, and like that anticipation builds as you get to the very top of the hill. Like they have that sound in there, and you kind of, you know, a little bit, you just kind of feel that feeling by yourself. Like, it's really fun, and it's just a cool little thing. So I think it's awesome, and everyone should go check it out.
I miss the OG Darkmoon Fair. I really
can't even remember the OG Darkmoon Fair at this point.
When you'd feed ale to a frog and then capture it. It
was so much, I so have fun. The Jubbling. I name him Drunky. But that
kind of fits, actually.
Right? That I do remember that quest so very well, because I love frogs. So I think that's I do miss the original Darkmoon Fair too, but I think they've added a lot of fun things in this too. So it'd be cool to have some kind of combination of the two, maybe.
Because when did they revamp Darkmoon Fair?
Oh gosh,
was that
Kata? Maybe.
Hmm.
I want to say Kata. I could Darkmoon be wrong.
Fair. New Darkmoon Fair. The only Darkmoon Fair that was
patch 4.3 in Cataclysm.
Oh wow!
So yeah, that was.
So yeah, I didn't have, like, because I started tail end of Wrath, so I didn't have a lot of time with the Darkmoon Fair, the old Darkmoon Fair, and like I don't think I knew what to do.
I started beginning Burning Crusade, so that was. I mean, the original Darkmoon Fair was pretty fun, but yeah. I think the only thing I really truly, truly miss from that is juggling. But the rest of it is pretty good, too.
I mean, you can juggle during the Midsummer Festival.
No, juggling. The juggling.
What's that?
What Mendros was talking about. Like, you would literally give beer to a frog.
Oh, I heard.
And it would become your pet.
All right.
And I named him Drunky.
Okay, I don't know what I heard, thought that pet's name was, but I didn't think it was Jubbling.
Oh.
All right. Jumpling? I think that's what I heard. Which, like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's a frog. Jumpling is a suitable name.
Oh, and Kappa got his guitar transmog from Blightbore. I still haven't gotten that yet. I really want it. Congrats, Kappa.
Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome. Definitely more of a Death Knight themed weapon.
Yep, I've been trying on my Death Knight, so she definitely needs X. It's pretty awesome.
Just trying.
I have the crazy like cage helm, but that's it so far.
You just try on anything that can use it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's crossed account wide transmog. Gotta love it.
So Medros, what have you been up to?
Well, in the last few minutes, I'm like looking up old things in WoW, like the Arcanite Ripper and stuff, but. I actually barely played WoW this week. Just there's a lot of real life stuff going on. My intention was not there. I think I did all of like 3 emissaries across all of my 5 max level toons. I did Darkshore scenario on all 5 of those toons. Some of them like last few hours of it. None of them got anything decent from it. Shocking there, I know. And did the Ivis kill in Darkshore before the show today, and also got nothing decent off of it. Got something that I already had the same eye level on, so I've pretty much given up on any upgrades at this point. not so fun, actually.
So what's your item level right now?
Still 496.
396?
396, 396. Yeah.
Whee! So I did.
You have now beat me. Congratulations.
I did the Darkshore scenario, and finally, after weeks and weeks of trying to get my pants to drop, I got some 400 pants.
Nice.
And so now I'm at 399.
Nice, 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 nice.
That's not fair.
She raids.
I worked my butt off, man. I haven't been getting the lucky drops like you.
You know, it's hilarious that I searched your character name, and I knew immediately when I found yours.
Something about because
you are probably the only priest I know who would ever have this transmog set as your look.
Yep. Hey, that's,
pirate ships need priests too. In fact, ships need priests.
Yeah.
My current D&D character is a priest. that was on a ship. Like, he was the ship's priest. All his whole thing was praying to the gods for a safe passage. Spoiler, it didn't work once. And turns out once is enough to, like, horribly screw up your life when you're in a fleet of ships and you're the only survivor. It hit him pretty hard.
So Allie, what do you need to upgrade to hit the magical 400? Is it your ring or...
Ring or one of your tickets? I have a 390 ring, I think, but I'm pretty happy with that.
Yes.
My big thing is I have a 385 trinket that I need. And so I'm hoping to get actually tomorrow when I run with the Rubber Chicken Coalition raid, which is a lot of fun, but we'll be doing that boss in heroic. And it's the first boss that drops that for me. So I've been trying for the last 3 or 4 weeks now for it with bonus rolls and everything and not getting it. So as soon as I get that trinket drops, that's probably going to knock me over the top.
You know, your cape is also a 385.
Yeah, I'll get that too. But that drops off a further boss. Like it's the first boss. Like I get it every week. Like I should be able to get it by now. and it's a good trinket. So I just need my luck to get just a little bit better so I can get that finally.
Well, I will give all of my luck to you since I have apparently none left. So,
well, if you have
so how are you going to give it to her?
What are you going to get? Yeah, exactly. See, Toasty gets me.
I'll give you all that I have, which is nothing. Almost none.
how generous. Here, have all this money. Have all this money that I have in my pocket.
I have 2 pennies to worth of luck to give. Here, have my 2 pennies.
Aw, I feel so loved.
Don't even pull that, man. You know what a penny is. We don't have them here anymore, but you know what they are. You've been in the States enough. What's a
penny? I genuinely have no idea.
Anyways. So, yeah, I really haven't had the focus to play WoW this week much. I've logged in many times, and I've done, like, mission table stuff and sending my characters out, and I've done a few. I've hit Paragon in a few reps, so I've gone out and claimed those, but I really haven't done much. And oh, actually, you know what? I lie. There is one thing I did. I was out, I can't remember where I was, but I saw somebody who had this NPC that was with them that acted as a mailbox, and I didn't know this existed, so I decided to look into it. And I went out and got it.
Nice. That one's fun.
Yeah, it's the go to the mail room in Dalaran one. It was a bit of work, but it was a fun series of quests and not nearly as frustrating as I expected it to be. So
yeah, that's definitely a fun one. I'm glad you did it.
But yeah, that was pretty much all I did this week that was at all interesting. And I actually had to go through and, like, do... I actually had to find a video on YouTube to figure out where the mail chute was, because I flew around that area about 20 minutes trying to find it, and I couldn't find it. But I was, like, on the wrong level, so that was my bad.
I never got around to doing but that one.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty simple. So I'd recommend it. You will need to go to Feralis, though, just so you know.
That's fine. That's fine.
But yeah, no upgrades this week on my main. I think one of my characters did get some upgrade, like a couple eye levels at one point. But nothing significant, nothing worth writing home about. And yeah, hopefully I'll have more desire to play. I did go out and ride the roller coaster a little bit, but that was about it. It was interesting, but I was annoyed that I didn't see the buff. So, like, you get on the roller coaster, and you don't see your buff bar anymore.
You don't get it until and the very end. You have to complete the whole ride, and then you get it.
That's annoying. But it is what it is. You, as long as you ride to the end, you're good. And it was a lot of fun. The island, it's good to see the island continually changing, continually improving, and adding new things. It's always a good thing, and especially with something that we can only see every so often, it will get boring very quickly, because people tend to go there a lot when they're out there. So it's good to be able to do that. But that's about it for my week. I guess it's now time to talk about our first sponsor. So our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures for a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft, Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Doctor Who, and Sherlock. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is the new Farrah Funko Pop. Now, this is one that I wasn't sure how they were going to do it, because they already had several Farrah Funkos, and I was hoping that when I heard they were going to do a new one, that they'd do something different, and they absolutely have. Much like the Reaper one we talked about a few weeks ago, this is more of an action shot versus just a standalone pose, and this is basically Farrah as she's using her rockets to lift up into the air. I really like the look of this one. I like the feel of action, the fact that they're character is actually doing something instead of just a pose. I really like this one. What do you guys think?
It's pretty cool. You're right about the action. That's awesome.
Yeah. Reminds me of, like, I have a... who is it? I can't remember who it is. Oh, Iron Man one. I have an Iron Man one where he's blasting off with his repulsor things. And it's got a very similar feel to it, which is cool.
Yeah, like, I remember when I interviewed the folks from Figureprints back in the day. I'd asked them, you know, would they do action ones? Would they do Figureprints that had effects, like glows on weapons and such? And that was something that I was always really interested in, very much wanting to see on those. To see that they are actually doing this for Figureprints, really, really cool. I really enjoyed it, and I really like this one. I hope they will do more of these going on as they continue on. There's so many that I can think of that I'd want, from Avengers, Endgame, even stuff that's been seen in the trailers for that would be really cool. And a lot of other movies. Like, action in a figure is not always something that is done very easily, but when it is successfully done, it can look really, really good. And this is a really good example of that. Now, I don't think this is one you're going to see on the Funko store anytime soon, but if you want to check out what they have over there, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on their entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop10 to save 10%. I want to thank Funko for their support of the show. All right, so what's coming up in WoW this week?
Well, this week in WoW, we have, of course, as we've already mentioned, the Dark Moon Fair, the 7th through the 13th. Go ride that roller coaster. If it's too slow for you, you can still do the carousel. It's okay, but at least do the roller coaster once. And it is also Cataclysm Time Walking Week, the 9th through the 15th. Now, if Cataclysm is not your favorite expansion to do Dungeons 4, think about it more that you have some new mounts coming up with Draenor coming out for time walking. So go get your time walking badges for some new mounts coming up.
Awesome. And don't forget to get your rebuff so that you can get some XP bonus.
And rep.
Yep.
Rep is good too.
Okay, so if you pay attention to the title of the show, Ian Hezekostas did a whole bunch of interviews this week. There were three that I found. I did interviews with Polygon and with Buff.de and with PC Gamer, and he dropped a whole bunch of 8.2 stuff and stuff that's coming in WoW. So some of the highlights there were things that they learned throughout the expansion, and things that they and explaining some of the reasoning behind some of the choices that they made. The one that might pique everybody's interest is in regards to Azurite armor. Now, I believe it was in the PC Gamer interview. Yeah, it was a PC Gamer. So originally they were with the Azurite system. They were setting out to improve on a flaw that they saw in the Legion artifacts, which was a ton of customization early on. You know, that it's something that gave players multiple trade paths, but eventually, you know, you all ended up with a full thing anyway. But once that was all filled out, it kind of died off. And after you completed all that customization and whatnot, you were kind of just selecting this, like, another level and a talent. Now, what they wanted to do with the Azurite system was always have that that customization, but it's very clear that it did not work out. He even admitted that it was added to the BFA beta a little too late. So, you know, they did their internal testing, but they didn't have enough data from there and from players interacting with that system over a long time to properly implement it. So what they're going to aim to do next time around is put in those major progression systems earlier during the alpha and beta testing, which is good, because as has been beaten to death many times since the Azerite system was introduced, more testing would have made it more evident that the Azerite system was not perfect. So one of the things that they're doing in 8.2 or in future content is the traits and armor aren't going to be linked to the level of your Heart of Azeroth anymore. So as of 8.2, you can just pick the traits you want, which is great. What they also said that there's going to be Legion style artifact progression and upgrade systems. There's going to be active powers like shields and buffs that you'll be able to activate using your Heart of Azeroth. So that's a nice change of pace, and that's sounds like it's going to be more it's going to be a lot closer to the system we experienced last expansion, which at the beginning anyway seemed to appeal to the player base a lot more. So that's something to look forward to in 8.2. But of course, that's not the only thing coming in 8.2. They also talked about the new content that we're going to be seeing, mainly Mechagon and and Magitar.
I'm so proud of you.
So one thing that I'm sure is going to make a lot of people happy is both Mechagon and Magitar are going to have flight enabled there. So unlike Tamas Isles and Argus, we'll be able to fly there. So everybody rejoice. Once you get your BFA Pathfinder Part 2, you'll be able to fly there. In regards to the actual content within those two areas, it looks like there's going to be a lot of it. Mechagon was compared to the Timeless Isle in terms of size. In fact, they're saying that it's going to be slightly larger than the Timeless Isle in terms of area and content. So that's really cool. Because at this point in the expansion, the amount of content that we're able to run is kind of running a little low. I mean, not that there isn't a lot to do, just that we've been doing it for a while now. It'll be nice to have something new. And, like, that's just one of the two zones. So we're going to get Mechagon, which is bigger than Timeless Isle. Then we'll have Najitar, which apparently is, like, a... where was it? I had notes here. Sorry, Mechagon's going to be a little more sandboxy and unpredictable, which, you know, who knows what that means. Whereas Najitar is going to be a little more typical in terms of the way we've experienced content in the past. So there's going to be very obvious progression there, and stuff will, I assume, unlock over time, which I would expect, as that's, you know, the meat of 8.2. Either way, that's really cool. I'm looking forward to what Ian described as a gnomish paradise from Mechagon. I'm curious as to what that is exactly. Maybe a city that they can actually call home? That sounds like gnomish paradise. They don't have that now.
Yeah.
Frasley's not here. Damn, he didn't hear
that. He's not here. I'm sure once 8.2 drops and he gets to experience it, he can report back to see if this is going to be potentially a new home for the gnomes.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Another thing that Ian talked about are the different classes and just how what affected the play of some of them right now. And he did address the fact that there are no new talents at 120, which some people were expecting. So the problem that came with BFA was that not only was there, you know, ability pruning that we saw, we also lost Legion legendaries, which added some other functionality to our abilities, and there's no endgame content. So, like, hitting the max level didn't necessarily make your character more fun to play, which, yeah, I mean, I can see that. You hit max level in previous expansions, you had a new ability to play with, or we had different... So Cataclysm, we had a bunch of new abilities to play with. I remember that's when we got, like, Dragon Roar and stuff like that for Warriors. Or was that something else? I can't remember when all these abilities came in, but, like, Cataclysm, Mists, Warlords, we got a bunch of new abilities. Legion, we got to play with our artifact weapons and all the legendaries, so there's a bunch of new stuff that we can play with. Battle for Azeroth, we had Azerite gear, which didn't add a lot of interactability. Like, it wasn't, none of it was very active, it was all very passive. Didn't really have to do anything for any of those abilities to kind of kick in other than grind out for Azerite power, which is not a great feeling. So, again, that's something that they've taken lessons from. How they're going to address that is another thing entirely. But, nice to know that they know that there's a problem there. Also, they talked about story. Oh boy, did they talk about story. There's a lot of story stuff here.
Spoilers.
Well, I mean, it's all stuff that we already know. Like, Hazakost is very much aware that there are many similarities between Garrosh's story, and, you know, the Horde knows that too. The Horde leadership is very much aware that there are many parallels between what happened with Garrosh and what's happening with Sylvanas, but also that Garrosh's motives were completely different. We don't know what Sylvanas wants to do, but he did say that don't expect it to end the same way. And, like, yeah, I'd be very upset if it ended the same way. So, like,
I'd be very happy if it ended the same way with them both dying.
Yeah, but Garrosh didn't die right away. It took until two zones into the next expansion, depending on how you went through it.
Yeah, and we get to kill ourselves. Shirk Thrall.
Kill stealing Thrall. And again, we got a lot of comments that we would expect from one of the devs regarding story. You know, the story's not done. There's so much left there. But just be patient. And, like, one of the other problems that a bunch of people in the community have had, specifically with the Horde story, is that they felt forced into this storyline that they didn't want, where, you know, they were, the word they used was complicit in aiding Sylvanas with what happened to Teldrassil. And, like, something like that was done, he says, to evoke emotion, and it's not something that they take lightly. They're aiming to tell that story in a way where people will want to stick around and see the end of the story that they're telling. So, I don't know, like, personally, I can't wait to see where the story is going. I know a lot of people were very turned off by it. That's one of the risks that they had, that they took to tell the story that they wanted to tell. And, you know, it's not an easy decision to make, but you know, it's cool to see them taking that risk. He also, sorry, someone.
As you, sometimes you have to, exactly, take risks.
Speaking of like stuff that people might not like, there's an interesting quote from Ian in regards to tension within the Alliance, and we saw aspects of that with 8-1 when Anduin decided to put Alliance focus on Dizzy Allegories. and Tyrande being like, no, like, I want to go back to Darkshore. I want to take my home back. I mean, there was a small moment of tension there, and based on some of the talk that happened during one of these interviews, I mean, that's the problem. That might not be the last we see of some of that tension within the Alliance, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes too.
Yeah, I think that moment there with Trond, I think, was potentially the loose thread of a sweater.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if the story is going to keep pulling at that loose thread and if it's going to unravel a little bit. Okay, in all reality, it's kind of... I almost feel bad saying this, but it's kind of time. Because we have seen over so many years and expansions the unrest on the Horde side. It only makes sense that at some point it would come to the Alliance side too.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen there has been tension within the Alliance, absolutely. The whole situation with Ironforge and the Council of Three Hammers, and the events that led to the creation of the Council of Three Hammers, there was a lot of tension there, but it's not something that we didn't experience that in game. It was told through novel, which I've always been okay with. It's just, but then again, I'm the kind of guy who will read that novel immediately. So to see this kind of stuff coming up in game, that can be exciting, and gives them the opportunity to tell the story over the long term and slowly build it up. Which can be engaging. Whether or not it is, we'll find out. I have faith.
It's always good when you have good people writing your stories. And we got to remember that we have Christy Golden, who's part of that department now. So definitely could see a lot of really interesting story coming out of there over the next few expansions and patches.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just those are just some of the more interesting things that I found from the amongst the three articles. If anybody's at all interested in checking out the actual interviews, you can head over to Wellhead. They've got summaries there and also links to the full interview. It should be noted that the one for Buff DE is translated from German, so there may be some translation issues. The wording may not be some things are going to get lost in translation there, unfortunately. But it's cool to still give that a good read over. Yeah.
Awesome. That definitely makes me think some stuff's happening soon. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think there's going to be some good changes coming up and some things to look forward to. And I think 8.2 is going to be amazing. And this just makes me more excited for it.
Oh, I mean, two zones. Like, we got a Tyless Isle, plus we've got another story, plus we got another main story driven zone. Yes, please. That's one content patch. I love it.
We'll see if I really care about Mech Aging when it's out.
Mech Aging? Oh, yeah. We'll see. Can't wait to do that dungeon. Mega dungeon.
And I totally will not say that name like Toasty, Frazzly and Ali want me to.
Mecha dungeon.
No, Mecha-gon, it's not how Mecha-gon I need to say that.
Is a mega dungeon.
Do you want to know why I don't have to say it like that? Because this is my show, and I can say whatever I want, how I want.
I'll say it like that on my show.
Fine, you go ahead and do that. Speaking of your show, what's your dungeon this week?
Shadow Labs. Came out on Sunday.
Awesome.
Man, I haven't thought about Shadow Labs in
forever. Shadow Labs is one of my favorite Burning Crusade dungeons, so that was a lot of fun.
See, the funny thing about that is when I first heard of Shadow Labs, I actually thought it was like a chemistry lab type dungeon.
Yeah, I can see you thinking that.
That's
labs. Because Labs is in the name.
Yeah.
But then I saw the actual full name because I was like, where is the Shadow Labs? Shadow Labyrinth I've seen, but where's the Shadow Labs? Yeah, I wasn't thinking very well
about that. I got to kill a lot of guildies running that dungeon. I had a lot of fun on my rogue. But I talk about that in the show. I feel like I need to explain something. A little bit ago, you heard Toasty say Battle of Dizzy Allegory. That's because in the show notes you see, we're going to be talking about some cross-realm mythic Battle of Dizarra lore. And for some reason, in the show notes, Toasty named it Cross-Realm Mythic Battle of Dizzy Allegory.
Because that's easier to say than Dizarra lore. And also,
that,
like,
that I'm doing easy enough to say that that name's just, it just makes me smirk.
Plus, plus I'm giving Dazar'alor the whole Benedict Cumberbatch treatment. Like Bramble Patch, Cabbage Patch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha. Yep. Gotcha.
All right. Well, hearing Seraphis butcher that name enough times, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make something out of this.
Anyways, the Cross-Realm Mythic Battle of Dazar'alor is now open because the Hall of Fame, which is something that was talked about in the beginning of the expansion, this is when the top 100 Alliance guilds and the top 100 Horde guilds complete Mythic Battle Dazar'alor. Once that happens, then Cross-Realm is opened for Mythic, which is new and really great. Horde finished it a while ago. I can't off the top of my head. I think four weeks ago they completed it. So Horde side completed it 4 weeks ago. Finally, after this lockout, the Alliance Hall of Fame will be closed because Alliance has finally completed it. So,
you know, I'd love to see Alliance complete that ahead of the Horde, you know, one time. Just
it
one time.
Happen. It won't happen, though.
But part of it, honestly, is some of the Horde racials are actually a lot better and make a pretty big difference. So a lot of the more top-tier raiders go Horde for that reason.
Makes a pretty big difference for people raiding at that level.
Yeah, yeah.
For people like you, for people like us, doesn't matter. Just does not.
Although it's interesting with Battle of Dazar'alor because of how it's done, Alliance still has a chance to turn into those Horde characters for some of those fights. So it's interesting to see just how many more Horde Mythic Raiders there are than Alliance Mythic Raiders. Because you can't fully point fingers at the racials this time since they, you know, we switch factions and stuff during the raid. So
yeah, but it's only for like three bosses, right?
Yeah,
three bosses, yeah, each out of the
nine.
So for a third of the raid, the Alliance has the better racials.
No, well, yeah, that's it. So
yeah, I think an argument can still be made.
Yeah, either way, it's really interesting to see. But all this to be said is that after this week, those who are interested will be able to do Cross-Realm Mythic, and any player who gets the cutting edge achievement for the Jaina fight and is in one of these Hall of Fame guilds will get the title of Famed Conqueror of Dazar'alor, which is kind of cool. I am not one of those. I will never be one of those. But I think it's really cool, and I am happy for those people.
Yeah, congratulations to you, famed conquerors of dastardly allegations.
you're famous enough to us, Allie. Oh,
thanks. I mean, if you listen to last week's episode, I'm going to go right for method. So, I mean, I'm cool, right?
Yep, and I will DPS for them, apparently.
IG quit, so I'm not taking for them anymore. There was some Quitter drama.
Speaking of drama, Medros, there was some drama with some XP exploits we didn't talk about last week, eh?
Yeah. So, realized that when I was editing the show, that I'm like, oh yeah, we were supposed to have talked about that, because I felt like we had to talk about this, since we had talked a week or two earlier. So, I had found the Draft of the Ten Lands, which is purchasable with the 7th Legion thingies that you get from doing 7th Legion's quests and stuff. And we talked a few weeks before about the fact that if you have the Incursion buff and the Wii buff from Darkwind Fair and this buff, they all stack. Well, apparently some people decided that that wasn't quite enough for them, and they decided to do an exploit. Now, some people have said, oh, maybe it's just coincidence. Maybe people didn't realize they're exploiting. And the problem is that you have to go to pretty notable lengths to make this exploit work, so I don't buy that. So, since this has been fixed, I feel fine talking about this at this point. But the extent people had to go to in order to get this to happen, is not just multiple clicking the stack of these potions you had in your bags, but you literally had to break them out into individual stacks of one. And then click one stack, and then the next stack, and then the next stack, and the next stack to get more than one of this buff. But if you put enough of these tokens in and got enough of these things and did enough work to stack all of these or unstack all of these things into one piles of one, you could get nearly unlimited stacks of this. And at 10% buff each time, pretty much you, if you do 30 or 40 of these, you are raking in the XP. I think anybody who is a player of this game and has played this game in any significant fashion knows that this is against the rules. This is an exploit. You are not doing what is intended. You are abusing a system. And if you cannot see that you are abusing the system here, that is not on me or any other player to tell you why you're wrong. It is just common sense. Now, there were various levels of bans and suspensions for this. We'll call them suspensions because I don't think anybody was actually fully banned. Like, nobody's account was deleted. But there were absolutely people who suffered consequences of their decisions. Some of the bans were 2 or 3 days. Some were as long as a month. And it seems from what I've read that those who were punished for a month are those who not only exploited this, but did so in a public fashion where others could see. This is, for example, people who were on Twitch doing this and on YouTube videos doing this. Basically, those who were showing, not only doing this, but showing people how to do it and how to exploit this. So, basically, if you were doing this as well as showing other people how this is done, you got a hard ban. And I, for one, am very, very okay with that. Somebody who does this, yes, they should be punished. No doubt about that. Absolutely good. 100% on board with that. But if you're on top of that, going out and publicly showing people how you've done this and how they can do it themselves, you deserve more punishment than the average player. And yes, there are people, I'm sure, who are showing to guildies, maybe writing posts up about this, that kind of stuff. But I'm sorry, there's no way that you... Okay, let me rephrase. There is nearly no way possible that you could accidentally trigger this. The only way I can think of that you could trigger this is if you happen to have multiple stacks, say you bought 30 of them or whatever is more than a stack, and clicked on one and it didn't show a timer, so maybe you didn't notice you had the buff, and you clicked on another stack. That would then apply two of these. That I don't think Blizzard would ban over. I think it was people who were getting 10 and 20 and 30 stacks of this buff that were causing Blizzard to say, nope, sorry, you are done, you're good. You're just going to spend a few weeks in the timeout room. So, like I said, there were a lot of people who were punished for this. If you were one of those who was punished and you don't feel that you were rightfully punished, I'm sure Blizzard's willing to hear your case. But I for one, feel like if you try to appeal a punishment and it is very clear that you are doing this, they have guild conversations showing, if you explain to people how to do it, or there's no reasonable way that you could not know this is an exploit, then I think your punishment should be increased. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think So as far as I know, all the stuff they gained were reversed, right? Am I remembering that right? Did I read that?
I'm not aware whether that was done. I do know that there were people who were punished for this who had their participation in the Mythic Dungeon International event affected, and there were people who, due to their punishments, were gonna miss the first week of Crucible of Storms raid. But I don't recall whether people had their progress reversed, only that there were people who were banned.
Yeah, I see that now. Like, so the 2 to 3 days for people who exploited it briefly, that's fair. I think them increasing the ban based on their perpetuating, or not the perpetuating the right word, their sharing of this exploit, absolutely warranted. I don't know, 31 days seems like a just thing, all things considered.
It was a pretty obvious exploit.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not supposed to happen like that, and exactly, like, showing people how to do this exploit, that's not cool.
Yeah, two to three days for just doing it, like, okay, yeah, I buy that.
Yeah.
And then increasing it to 31 when you're sharing it, yeah, that makes sense.
And there needs to be consequences.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, in the end, people need to learn that there is acceptable and unacceptable behavior. And if you are going out there and showing people how to break the rules, there's going to be a cost to that. You are not going to like the cost, but you made that choice. And if you are an influencer, if you are somebody who is in Twitch doing videos for WoW, you have a high responsibility. If I go into this podcast and say, hey guys, I was just playing WoW earlier today and I found this great way to get myself from level 2 all the way up to 120 in the span of 5 minutes with just a little bit of exploiting, it's no big deal. I expect I'm going to get a hard ban. Like, I would fully expect I'm either getting suspended for a long time or my account is gone. And that is right. Influencers and community people who create content are expected, rightfully, to carry themselves and play with a higher standard of honor, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. You have to do the right thing. If you don't, then yeah, you're gonna suffer for it, I guess.
And suffer they did for 31 days or less.
Yeah. It sucks for those who only did it a little bit or were just checking it out. The only people I've heard complaining are people who got the 30-day bans, and they just feel like, oh, well, I only did it for the same amount of time this person did it, but you did it in a public way. You did it in a publicly viewable way. So that's the reason why yours is higher. I've not seen anybody who accidentally did it who got punished. Like, if you only did it once and didn't realize you did it or whatever, they're not going to be a big deal. But if you're explaining to people how you did it and how they can do it themselves and all this other stuff, even if it's in guild chat, yeah, sorry, I can't say that you're got any legs to stand on there. So, and it sucks. It sucks when you have to be punished, and it sucks when your decisions, wrong as they are, affect others. But that is the way it goes. And I know, or I heard of at least 2 or 3 people who got kicked off their Mythic Dungeon Invitational teams because of this stuff. Their guilds or their groups decided that they weren't somebody that they want to be part of if they were going to risk the group like that. So it's unfortunate, but it's the cost of misbehavior.
Yep.
So, I did want to, like I said, I want to talk about this because we had talked about stacking buffs, and I want to be very clear to people who may have heard that episode and thought maybe we were talking about the same thing, that we were talking about something very different, something that is fully within the rules. It's just stacking buffs of a different type that affect the same way, not this type of exploitation. So I wanted to make sure that we were addressing that and that we were clear that what we were talking about is not what these people were doing.
Yeah, I want to legitimately gain a ridiculous amount of XP for little effort.
totally good with that. Do it legit, do it within the rules, and I'm totally fine with that. But let's talk about the PTR.
Yeah, so, as we may have guessed, 8.2 PTR is probably coming soon, because Ian's doing a whole bunch of talking about it. But what happened, I believe it was Saturday? The 8.2 patch hits the content delivery network for WoW. So looks like the PTR could be dropping sooner rather than later.
It's actually on Thursday, actually.
Why does it say 3 days ago? This article says 3 days ago.
When I hover over the date in the article, it says 4/4. So that was on Thursday.
3 days ago was also Friday. I included today. Oh man, I'm dumb and I need help.
No worries.
So yeah, 8.2 hit the delivery network, so it looks like PTR is probably coming soon. Looking forward to that. Give me Mechagon and Najatar, but Mechagon.
Oh, I'm so excited for you too. It's gonna be good.
Do you want to know another sign that we're probably going to see the 8.2 PTR very, sure, very soon? Well, apparently they're going to be doing a live stream this week. And it's not a Q&A. It's actually like a deep dive into Rise of Azura. And that seems like a really good time for them to announce a date for the PTR to launch. Or just say, hey, it's live now.
That sounds like something they do.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Look at all this content. Like,
Thursday, April 11th at 11 a.m. Not 11 a.m., but just 11 a.m. They'll be having a deep dive into the upcoming content, Rise of Azura, with Jeremy Fiesel. And, yeah, I would not be surprised to see that the PTR goes from encrypted to unencrypted, and therefore can be data mined.
Yep. Yeah, that seems like something that Blizzard would do. Oh, look at all this content, though. Mechagon, Najatar, and BT Dubs PTR tomorrow.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you're going to say Mechagon like that, you have to say Najatar like a Naga would.
Say it with a hiss.
Najatar. I don't freaking know, man. Do I look like a snake person?
Oh, that was so good.
Najatar. There's no S's in there. It's hard.
Please say it like that all the time.
Mechagon and Najatar.
I think you need more femininity to your voice and more like evilness to your voice, maybe.
No, I don't.
I knew that was going a little too far, but I just had to go there.
I don't know how to do that. Najatar. No, that didn't work either.
It sounds like you're trying to be sexy, and it's really funny.
Also, like, I gotta calm down on the Mechagon thing, because I'm noticing I'm peaking my microphone every time I do that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Mechagon. There we go.
That was good.
I didn't do it that time, so it's good.
I'm surprised we don't have a bumper or some kind of sound clip yet for this, but whatever. I guess our listeners don't want to hear that very much.
Oh, don't worry.
All right, let's start with some WoW Classic stuff.
All right, so as we know, the WoW Classic content is going to be delivered over 6 phases, and they've now talked about how they're going to roll out the PvP portion of all the WoW Classic content. So, in phase one of the classic launch, you'll be able to PvP each other in the world. So world PvP is going to be a thing. But there's no tracking, and there's not going to be any rewards for doing so. So you're doing it just for the lulz. During phase two, we're going to see the honor system introduced, which includes dishonorable kills, which hasn't been a thing for a very long time. And there's also going to be PvP rank rewards. Phase 3 is going to introduce the 1.12 version of Alterac Valley, along with Warsong Gulch. Phase 4 is going to give us Arathi Basin. There's not going to be any new PvP content in Phase 5, but in Phase 6 we're going to see world PvP objectives in both Silithus and the Eastern Plaguelands. So,
see, I always felt like DKs should have given you a significant drop in your HK count. So, like, an HK acts like a point, A DK acts like a negative 3 points. So basically something to significantly dissuade people from doing that. Because I never felt there was really enough dissuasion in actually doing the, you know, going out to a newbie zone and killing everybody.
Now, I'm not familiar with how dishonorable kills work. Are either of you able to shed some light, or am I going to Google this really quick?
Basically, if you were certain levels above a character, a player, and you killed the player, you would earn a dishonorable
also
kill.
Say I'm level 60 and I go to Goldshire, and
yes,
that'd be bad.
Cabo mentioned the point. Killing civilians like going to alliance player going to Crossroads and killing everybody in Crossroads, that gives you DKs as well.
Well, that's interesting, because like what happens with city raids? I'm sure you kill a lot of civilians during
those. I believe
those
were seen as different. Well, I mean, guards is one thing, but civilians is different. Like, civilians would generally run from you.
They'd run. They can't run very fast sometimes. Oh.
Yes.
That sounded bad.
Yes, we don't want you to be a mass murderer of innocent civilians who are trying to run away from you. If the NPC is running from you, just let them run. It's not going to hurt you to not kill that NPC, because they're not going to hurt you. If you kill a military target, a soldier, or a leader, that's another story altogether.
No, if only that were still a thing. Then my auction house wouldn't get screwed over every once in a while.
Yes, I agree.
Although I'm an engineer, so I have an auction house everywhere. Thank you, auction bot.
Also very true.
See, that's why engineering is the best profession.
Anyways, moving along to the truth. So, yes, this will be interesting. I'm very curious to see whether Classic will see a resurgence of Tarn Mill versus South Shore, because that was a lot of fun back in the day. There would be, like, Saturday, like weekends where, like, that would be a constant battle the entire weekend. And it was basically when they got rid of the original Altrak Valley, where that could go on for, like, 8 days in a row for a single instance. And they made it so that it literally could not happen. Then people went over to Altrak Valley and South Shore and battled back and forth for that.
Huh. I didn't know that.
But Kappa, this isn't Classic WoW, so there will be a South Shore in Classic. And I want to see if this will return.
Like, I don't...
I won't actually play it, but I want to see if that happens.
I look forward to the streams.
Indeed. What do you think, Allie?
I think it's naturally going to come back. I think the people who are the most excited about Classic will probably bring all of that back naturally. I don't doubt it one bit.
I would agree.
Somebody stream it, please.
Indeed. And who knows? Maybe I'll actually go and like try and level a character and have them go die a lot, just like in the old days.
You're playing a paladin, right? So you like.
No, actually, the only time I went to South Shore versus Tarn Mill back in the old day was on my druid. Back long before I even became a balanced druid. I think I was a feral back then.
Okay.
But this is back when bears were the only viable druids.
Well, didn't you...
Resto druids were nothing, balanced druids were nothing, feral druids were nothing.
Well, I mean, feral was both bear and cat back then.
Sorry, cat, bear, and moon jerky, they were all invalid. Really, no, sorry. Tree, moon jerky, and cat were invalid. Bear was the only real.
I don't know why this didn't click, but I just realized that we're gonna get tree druids back.
That is true. Tree druids that could go dance in some campfires.
Wait, wasn't Resto used for like Innervate? Was Innervate an ability back then?
Yeah, Innervate was used by both Resto and Balance.
Yep.
Yeah, but I could Resto, I could Innervate as a Balance Druid, and nobody wanted me that at all, so.
So Resto was used for Innervate. Paladins were just buff bots.
Yes.
Warriors were a tank and nothing else.
As they still are.
Ooh, I disagree.
I expected nothing less than that, actually. Anyways, that is old / future stuff to talk, we can talk about later. Let's talk about our second sponsor, sorry.
So our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week we're going to conclude the available books for A Song of Ice and Fire with A Dance with Dragons. Let's have a listen.
If I say it wrong, he'd take another finger. Or worse, he
would not think about that. He could not think about that. There were needles in his jaw, in his eyes. His head was pounding.
Please,
he squeaked, his voice thin and weak. He sounded 100 years old. Perhaps he was.
How long have I been in here?
Go, he mumbled through broken teeth and broken fingers, his eyes closed tight against the terrible bright light.
Please, you can have the rat. Don't hurt me.
Reek, said the larger of the boys. Your name is Reek, remember? He was the one with the torch. The smaller boy had the ring of iron keys.
Reek, tears ran down his cheeks. I remember. I do.
His mouth opened and closed.
My name is Reek. It rhymes with leek.
In the dark he did not need a name, so it was easy to forget.
Reek, Reek, my name is Reek.
He had not been born with that name. In another life he had been someone else. But here and now his name was Reek. He remembered.
Alright, so question of the week.
Question of the week for last week was, what was your favorite part from the April Fool's Day notes? And we didn't get that many answers this week. We forgot to Twitter it.
No, I completely forgot. Yeah, too bad. Zephariah says, I really didn't pay attention to any of them.
Frazzly says, I think Protection Warriors with the Safeguard talent have now been signed up for 12 months of credit monitoring. Killed me.
And Capo said, didn't read them as I don't partake in the foolishness of April Fool's Day.
But that's the whole idea of
April. Capo, normally, like, I agree with you most of the time. Like, Blizzard stuff is the stuff I make, is what I make an exception for, just because it's funny references.
But I will say, like I said last week, this seemed like a little bit of a weak year. Like, Dave had some really epic, epic notes.
Oh, yeah, like that one dungeon where it's going to be completely dark. That was supposed to be in Duskwood.
Yeah, wasn't that the one that was right after the launch of that dungeon where there's one boss fight where you're in dark the entire time and you have to like run to these pools of light?
That's the one I was talking about.
No, there's actually a dungeon, like a dungeon in Kata. Oh,
you're thinking of the that was during End Time.
Yeah, sure. I'll trust you on that.
But there's also. There's also the dungeon in Legion of Vault of the Wardens that had a similar mechanic.
Yep.
Like, I like that it turned into an actual thing.
I think this assumes that I actually did dungeons in Legion, but okay. So next week's question is, if you could add another ride to the Dark Moon Fair, what would you add?
Bumper cars. I like bumper cars.
I want to see a water park.
Oh, that's good too.
I was going to say bumper cars too. So I'm going to copy you, because that's legitly what I was going to say.
Because bumper cars are awesome.
Can you imagine, like, getting some, like, friends and guildies and doing it together?
Okay, so in future, what we're going to have to do at the beginning of the show, we're all going to have to write down on a piece of paper what we were going to say, and then show at the end of the episode what we're actually going to say, so we don't know if we know that none of us cheated.
But, like, also, we could just cheat and write it down after the fact.
This is true. We'll have to have, like, Zeph or somebody be a gatekeeper. We can message to her and she can verify if we're lying or not.
We can have the same answers. It's fine.
Fair enough. All right. Allie, shout out.
My shout out goes to Blizzard for making it possible for lower level items while you're leveling and everything to have that chance to warforge or to upgrade. I had that happen on one of my tunes, and it was so exciting. And it just, it was that unexpected surprise, especially at, like, I think, well, it was my monk. So I was like 25, I think, when it happened. And it was just like, oh, yay. And I was like super excited. So shout out to that, to Blizzard for that change, because that's pretty awesome.
How would you, Josie?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Wait, you're not going to shout out to the Jets or the Blues for an amazing regular season?
No.
Is that because of the end of the regular season? Okay.
No. My mind is blank.
All right, well, I will save mine then while you think of something else to say. I'm going to have two shout-outs. First shout-out is to Kit Harington for one of the funniest SNL episodes I've seen in a very, very long time. From his monologue all the way through to the end, there's like only one skit that I didn't really get very well. The rest were just hilarious, including the Game of Thrones one was just perfect. Loved it. So that's one. And my second shout out is to the Jets for getting a final win somehow and getting home field advantage for the first round. And go Jets. You guys can do it. They aren't that good. You can do it. Move on to the second and go for the cup.
I'm just going to say right now that the St. Louis Blues have had 65 points since January 2nd. For context, the Tampa Bay Lightning earned 64 points. So since January 2nd, the Blues have been the better team over the Lightning. Just going to throw that out there.
That is an interesting piece of information. Yep. Does not change my shout-out.
Okay, just giving you some facts. Gonna shout out to... Oh, I had a thing and I lost it.
All because you had to correct me. Yep. All your fault.
You know, first of all, shout out to everybody in the live chat tonight. So Capo, Gil, Zeph. There was somebody else in here too earlier, wasn't there? I feel like there were more people earlier. Anyway, shout out to you guys. Thanks for hanging out in chat with us today. It's nice to have all that conversation going on. I love seeing everybody's interactions week to week. Also going to shout out to the folks over at Critical Role, because they hit their last stretch goal. So we have so many animated episodes coming. I think it's 10. With a complete Briarwood arc and everything. And I think last time I checked, they're way past their previous stretch, their final stretch goal. I think they're at $9.2 million at this point. With 10 days left. With an original goal of $750,000. Oh, wow. I can't wait. This is going to be glorious.
All right. And I guess it's time for an outro then.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, Ali is at Aliandrus K, I'm at Toasty Posty Can, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And you can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care. Happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of a 3-0 Jets lead in the series.
Go, St. Winnipeg Blue Jets.
Go, Avalanche! Woo!
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.